Okay, Diane, tell me about your Knit Fest.
This is another thing we did weekly for entertainment. The school secretary would invite. Basically, it was there were Native women, and her son was married to a young Native woman. She always came. It was just people from town, and we all met at the school secretary's house every Thursday night. We'd bring our sewing or our knitting or whatever, and someone would provide a treat each week, and we'd get together for a couple hours, and we would just yak and drink tea and make things. And that was often when, well, like when I was making my Parkey Francis, one of the Native elder women who usually came showed me how to cut Arctic fox to make a ruff and to make the trim for my parka and stuff, so we would work on projects like that. That's when I learned how to sew beaver hats. I'd bring the beaver and they would show me how to cut and how to sew it, and so I learned a lot at those, and it was a fun time for us all to get together and catch up on the gossip.
Is that where you made your mukluks? Did you make your mukluks?
I've made lots of baby mukluks, but I've not made any grown-up mukluks. Baby mukluks are more for show and not for warmth. And generally, grown-up mukluks are made out of, the upper part is made out of caribou, and the sole is made out of moose. And I tried tanning fox, and it was...
You don't sound like it worked out too well.
It was an okay experience with the fox. Then I moved to beaver, and I ended up with like this fur frisbee that we would throw around the house. It dried too quickly, and it was hard as a board, and it was impossible to sew.
So you invented a new game, right?
Yeah.
Fur sock and fur frisbee.
Beaver frisbees. So after that experience, I thought, do I want to move up to caribou and moose? And I said, nah, I don't want to try tanning those. So I just left that to my friends, and I got them to sew. And that would be a way for them to earn money, too, because they'd sew mukluks for me, and I'd pay them. I forget how much, probably like $75 for a pair of mukluks.
Wow.
And
that's not that expensive considering what
it's
cost.
No, it's not. But for them, there was absolutely no cost.
Mm-hmm.
They would use a caribou that their family had shot. They'd use moose that someone had shot. They would dye the sole leather with willow that they would gather. I guess the only cost was the dental floss that they used to sew it together with. So
that's interesting.
It was no guts to sew, huh?
No.
I've seen sinew and how you use sinew and make it into thread, but it's a really long and difficult process, and they found that wax dental floss can hold really well. It's cheap, it's easy to use. It slides through the fur pretty well, and it will help make it pretty watertight. So that's generally what people use. So it meant it was a lot of time and effort, but it was basically all profit. So there were some women in town who were willing to put that time in to get the money. So I never sewed grown-up mukluks, but I did baby ones for show with little ribbons on them and all.
Oh, cute. Could you buy boots and coats and things that would be warm enough up there, or were the handmade things really the best things to have?
You could order these rubberized Army bunny boots through the Army Navy store in Anchorage that were really warm. They're supposed to be the best thing, but mukluks are warmer. But they're not quite as sturdy. If you're going out chopping wood and you're tromping through the forest, you tend to get cuts in your mukluks, and then the snow and gets in them and all. And if it's at all wet, mukluks don't work well. Being natural fur and leather, they would get wet real easily. So if we were going for a snowmobile ride and it was cold winter, mukluks were the best thing to use, the ones made out of caribou and moose. But oftentimes I'd wear my bunny boots just because of the conditions we were going in. People still sew fur coats. Women and men have coats made out of muskrat.
fur, but, and they probably are warmer, but there aren't very many people still doing it. It takes a lot of muskrat because they don't use the whole fur. Mm-hmm. Women only use the muskrat belly. Men only use the back. And one year our principal, who is a former football player, his coat took a few hundred muskrats to make a coat for him.
Hundred?
A few hundred.
Wow.
It was like 200 and some muskrats they needed to make coat. So that really wasn't anything I was very interested in. And down did quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But for your head, beaver hat, or women. Women didn't wear beaver hats. That was masculine.
Oh,
but I sewed beaver hats for my boys and my husband, and one year for Christmas, that's all I did. My dad and my father-in-law and everybody got beaver hats. Women, generally, their hats are made out of marten.
Okay.
Or rabbit. Rabbit was more common because rabbits are more plentiful and not as...
Well, you said you really weren't hunters, though. Did you?
No.
People got these. You bought the furs from other people?
From friends who were trappers.
Oh, okay.
And we had some friends who, that's how they made their living. They went out on the trap line every couple days and gathered their animals and skinned them and then sold them. Sometimes they, one friend, Bill, his wife, would tan the skins for a certain price. You would get the skin already all tanned. Some others would just want to sell the raw skin. And you could send them to Shishmaref to a tanning place where you could get it tanned, or you'd find someone else in town who would tan it for you. But yeah, we would get it from people locally and help out their economy too.
Yeah, sure. Well,
Diane, thank you very much for talking with me about your village experience. I really enjoyed listening to your stories, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.